You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back and we are doing it. We've been kind of quiet because it is 6 a.m. here in Anaheim, California. People on the other side of this wall here, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Holt, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We are going to keep this one very short because we've got things to do. That's where we're at. So anyway, let's get into it. As promised yesterday, I wanted to get into kind of give you a verbal reasoning for my top or my 10 way too early bold predictions for Michigan for 2020. They're probably not even bold predictions. They're just predictions. So we will do four up top, three and three. That's how we're going to do it. So let's go ahead and start with the offensive line is a Joe Moore Award finalist. Notice I didn't say winner. I mean, I think that would be pretty hard to win it straight up again. But that is a group that has an embarrassment of riches. It's just like ridiculous how much they continue to add to an already stellar group. Now, they've got only a couple guys coming in as freshmen, which I didn't even mention, Evan Link, Amir Herring, Nathan Afobe. But obviously, it's what's already there plus the transfer depth. And that is insane. Now, we'll see if anyone transfers out because that group is just getting better and better. I mean, you've got, we don't know yet the decisions, but I mean, we can fairly assume, we already know that Olu is done because he's run out of eligibility. We can fairly assume that Ryan Hayes is moving on. But outside of that, we don't really know. We don't know if Zach Zinter or Trevor Keegan, one or both, will go, or if they will stay. I think that we're all kind of fairly assessing that one of the two will go, but another one will stay. Taking a wild guess with no inside info of any sort, it just kind of feels like Zinter might go and Keegan might stay. But you know what? Could go any way that you want as far as that's concerned. And so then, you know, with that in mind, you are essentially bringing in, you know, between two and three guys to replenish your line. So at that point, you have, let's keep it with that. So you're replacing Hayes, Zinter, and Olu. If you were staying in-house, I mean, you'd still feel really good. Jeffrey Percy, who started the Rutgers game, would come in. Then you've got Trevor Keegan, as said. Then you would look at either Raheem Anderson or Greg Crippen. I feel really good about Raheem Anderson right now, based off of everything we've heard. Then Joel Hadi, I would put in at that Zach Zinter spot, even though that's tended to be all right, and he's gone to the left side. But as you know, Michigan linemen can play just about anywhere on the line. So I would say him, but you could also have Carson Barnhart there and Trente Jones outside, or you can still platoon that position. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. But then on top of that, you add those three transfers. Ladarius Henderson is almost certainly going to be a starter. Is that going to be at left tackle? Is he going to play inside like he did at Arizona State? Drake Nugent, I would pencil in probably as a starter at that center. He was a Remington watch list guy from Stanford. I mean, that could Michigan find a way to get two Remingtons in a row? I'm not as confident about that as I was last year, my early prediction that Olu would win the Remington, but you still feel really, really good about it. Then you've got Miles Hinton, and I mean, he's a former five-star, and no, it didn't necessarily jump off the page at you at Stanford, but he has that raw talent. Now he can be coached up. And it's just so many guys that could really be a big factor. In line play, it's obviously incredibly crucial. That's what propelled Michigan to what it was able to do. So if you can basically stay away from TCU, though, I would say half of that game was TCU and half that game was making self-inflicted mistakes. I think that offensive line can drive you to an extremely, extremely good place. All right, number nine. Again, not inside info, but it's if you do read the message boards, it does feel like it's trending this way. And I've been long saying this. Blake Corum returns. That's my way too early prediction. It just feels like He's got more of a Jake Butt, Jordan Lewis type, you know, Chad Henne type mentality. And I think that it killed him to not be able to play in the Ohio State game, the Big Ten championship, or the college football playoff. With NIL being kind of like a game changer in that sense, that is where things deviate from the three and done when you are that level of talent. So I think that I just have a strong feeling that he will return. It's not strong enough where I'd like put money on it or anything like that, but I have the feeling that he feels like he has unfinished business, and with NIL being a mitigating factor where he can get his and all of that and feel secure, it's a different scenario, different world than it was when even Jake decided to come back, right? Because Jake had an insurance policy, but he didn't have, you know, potentially seven figures to say, hey, let's keep you right here, you know? So that's where things become a little bit different. But yeah, and if it's him and Donovan Edwards again, suddenly you feel really good about where you are as a whole, considering the struggles against TCU. You would feel like if you had Blake Corum, that probably wouldn't happen. No offense to Don, and obviously he's been huge. I think that having the complementary styles of play is very helpful instead of either relying on the transfer portal or someone who hasn't necessarily played the position consistently. My next point, and we'll actually make this the last one of this segment, and then we will move forward. But my next point is A.J. Barner is an All-American caliber player. If you don't know who A.J. Barner is, he is a transfer from Indiana. He was a team captain, I believe, at Indiana. He was one of their representatives I don't know if he was a team captain. I just know he was a representative at Big Ten Media Days for them. I remember speaking to him, and he was very confused why I was asking all these questions about Michigan. He does not even have the production that Colston Loveland has, and he is a freshman. But I think Colston Loveland is going to be more and more schemed against as he starts to get more involved in the offense. And I think Colston Loveland might be the flashier player. But A.J. Barner, I think, is going to be the more complete tight end. Think of Luke Schoonmaker. I think that he has higher upside than Luke Schoonmaker. And that's no offense to Luke. I just think that A.J. Barner has that. And playing in a tight end heavy scheme, I know Indiana has tended to use them, but still. I think that he's going to come to Ann Arbor and he is going to surprise people, not only with his ability to be a receiver, but also his ability to block in line. So I have him as being a guy that's going to be one of the better, if not best, players in the conference, if not the country. And Michigan is going to utilize him to a place where people are going to be very excited. All right, let's move on. Like I said, we have very little time this morning. And it is very much morning here. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people that have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put you in your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all in one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Remember, if you want to achieve your goals, you might need to hit the transfer portal yourself. Go and get yourself a Ladarius Henderson out of the transfer portal, LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, this is one that I have said. I think last year was the first time I didn't say it in my preseason bold predictions. I say it every single year, and every single year I am so wrong. But we're gonna try it again. I'm going to say, that the single season passing record, which is owned by John Navarre, 3,331 yards, is finally broken next year. If it is cheating a little bit because Michigan can play up to 15 games. If they play 13, which is normal, it's, I think, an average of like 250-something yards, like 255, 256 yards. Now, you know what? That's not a huge number. That's not an absolutely huge number. And I'd have to look and see, which we will do right now, what where throwing, let's say, 256 yards, where that would put a passer. You know, who would be that guy? So yards per game. 256, that would make them the 30th rated passer, or even the 29th. So we're talking Jack Plummer. We're talking, we're kind of talking Max Duggan. That would be enough. Max Duggan, I'm sure he had enough. And of course, this is being kind of ridiculous here. He had more than enough to break that passing title, like that, if he was at Michigan. So that's the type of performance that Michigan needs. And we're, you know, guys who superseded it were guys like Hendon Hooker, C.J. Stroud, Aiden O'Connell, Bo Nix, Stetson Bennett. So I mean, guys like that, Dylan Gabriel. I mean, some of those are pass happy places. Taulia Tagovailoa didn't quite get there. And he didn't even quite get there overall in yards, 3,008 yards on the season, which is kind of surprising given how much Maryland likes to throw the ball. He threw for almost 1,000 yards more. But still, I feel like J.J. McCarthy is going to do that. Now, you make it 14 games, it becomes like 230 yards. If it becomes 15 games, it's 222. So I think it is absolutely a doable number to get there. And I think it's a long time that Michigan passes the ball more. And I think what we saw in the Ohio State, and he didn't throw for a ton in Purdue, but he did, I think, get over 200 yards in that game. And then obviously 340-plus yards in the college football playoff. I know Michigan likes to run the ball, and you have Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. They probably will, but I feel like they're going to come away from this feeling more diversified. All right, next. Explosive plays look more like 2021 than 2022, and I think that's by virtue of Michigan kind of recognizing again that it's that all that constant of evolution of what did we end up missing, and I think that they show that they can make explosive plays without it being a huge deal, right? Like without, you know, they didn't necessarily need the explosive plays, but I feel like in those bigger games, they kind of needed them, so I feel like they're going to just do it more. They're going to find ways to do it more. Because when you really need an explosive play in the very end of that college football playoff, you couldn't get one. So I feel like, that there was also some struggles in the first half in trying to figure out how to get them. I mean, they had some, obviously, but they weren't touchdowns, and I think they were trying everything. You know, A.J. Henning jet sweeps, which is one of the things I meant to mention in the podcast yesterday, that I wouldn't do that. You didn't do it all year. They knew what was coming. So, I just think that's going to be something we see more of. All right, we'll go two more in this segment and then finish out. We've got Darius Clemens emerging as wide receiver one. And we didn't really see much of the trio of freshmen, and Darius was one that I would have to double check, and maybe I can do that real fast. I feel like he maybe had redshirted, maybe, because we didn't really see a ton of him. I'm going to guess he didn't, but we did see some more Tyler Morris down the stretch. Marion Walker, I think, definitely redshirted. But, sometimes it takes some guys a little bit of time to be able to, and no, he didn't redshirt. He had 105 snaps overall. And played in 10 games. But it's one of those things where, wide receivers sometimes take a minute to really coalesce. I think Nico Collins wasn't really a factor in his freshman year. He kind of came in the bowl game and didn't look that good. And, and it was kind of a bad deal. And then 2018 suddenly is like, oh, Nico Collins has really improved. And then by 2019, it was like, okay, Nico Collins is the best receiver you have. I think it's going to be Darius Clemens doing that this year. I think he's going to come out and he's going to be able to have that type of capability and ability somewhat straight away after having had 1 year in the system. I just think he's got the big body. Michigan needs to find a receiver that you can basically say it's a 50-50 ball. Go up and get it. They need to find a guy that can do that. And he maybe is that guy. And I just think he's going to take a big step forward. All right, last one this segment, and then we will move on. Michigan's defense becomes even better than it was a year ago. That has a couple different reasons. Jesse Minter year two, again, assuming that the coaching staff stay somewhat intact, and obviously we're going to make that a whole topic of discussion on Wednesday. I think Jesse Minter year two, you bring back a big part of the defense. Now, Mozzie Smith is likely gone. He does have ability to return if you wanted to. DJ Turner, Jamon Green are guys that have decisions to make. I feel like one of them will come back. I mean, maybe both of them will come back. DJ Turner did himself no favors in the bowl game, whether that affects his draft status or, you know, how people feel about him and how he sees that is a different story. But outside of those guys and outside of Mike Morris, who again has another year of eligibility, but I would highly doubt that he'll return. I think that you bring back the bulk of what you had, and then you add to it, right? Like, I still think, Michael Barrett's another one that I feel like is going to decide to stay. But, I mean, you've got, like, the core nucleus of your front, you know? Like, in guys like Iabi Oki, who I think are taking a big step forward. I thought Jalen Harrell improved down the stretch. Braden McGregor really improved down the stretch. And you're still waiting on some of those edge guys to kind of take a step forward. There's still more behind them. I mean, Derek Moore, we've been tantalized by his capability and ability. In the middle, Kenneth Grant and Chris Jenkins and Mason Graham, I mean, that feels really good. And you feel like they're going to get even better. I mean, can you know Etta also be an early impact type of guy there? And then the secondary. I mean, all of your safeties return, your linebackers return, and you add Ernest Hausman. I mean, it's just a really good feeling like that group's going to coalesce even more and really be able to push forward. So I have them becoming even better. All right, we are going to finish up here momentarily. We're going to rock through these last few, but I don't think that they're ones that are going to require nearly as much discussion. And two, go hand in hand as it is. So we'll return in just a moment. All right, let's finish up. We'll go with number three. Tommy Doman shows out on special teams. So if you don't know who Tommy Doman is, he was a 5-star punter and I think a 4.5-star kicker, according to the specialist rankings. He is a big, tall, local guy who is able to boom it. Really, I was just sitting there watching him in pregame warmups at the Fiesta Bowl, and it was like, this guy can punt like 60, 70 yards. Like, he was just really putting it out there. So I think that it's going to be, now we'll see if Michigan decides to have him do the Kenny Allen, you know, kick and punt. I feel like that's certainly a possibility. Punt for sure, I feel like, is going to be his role. And now, if not him, do they go with one of the many walk-ons or Adam Samaha, who's a scholarship guy that comes in this year? Do they go with another guy who's already on the roster? I don't know the answers to those. But I feel like he's more than capable of going out and really taking the mantle and going from there. So Tommy Doman shows out on special teams. I think he's going to be incredible. I think he's not necessarily going to make people say Jake and Brad who, but I think he's going to be very good, and I think he's got the leg to really make some of those deep kicks. So we will see. All right, second to last one. Michigan goes undefeated in the regular season again. And, I that's what I've got. That's what I got happening here. Let's go through the schedule real fast here. Looks like I can't do it here. I'm sure that Michigan has to have the future schedule somewhere. Okay, here we go. So the 2023 schedule is set. Non-conference is, again, very easy. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and then as Rutgers, at Nebraska, at Minnesota. At Nebraska and at Minnesota could be challenging, especially back-to-back, but they shouldn't be in Michigan's league. Indiana, at Michigan State. You know, the rivalry game is always difficult. Hosting Purdue, if this was a Jeff Brom Purdue, then it would be a little bit more daunting. At Penn State, that's always a challenge. At Maryland and Ohio State at home. So I feel very good about that schedule. I really think that who are you going to look on that and say they're absolutely going to lose to? Because Ohio State is not that's not the one anymore. Michigan has their number. It's not going to get better. They have a new quarterback. Penn State has a new quarterback. Some of these teams have new coaches like Nebraska, Purdue, and some of the other ones just aren't challenging. I just feel like Michigan should be able to go in there and take care of business again this year, which leads us to Michigan returns to the college football playoff. So for all the people who've been doing the hand-wringing over Donovan Edwards and J.J. McCarthy saying, we'll be back, and thinking like, well, you said that last year. Well, they were right last year. They were back. They just didn't win that game. So I think that they will be back. They will be able to go back to the college football playoff, and we will see if they are able to do something more. But I think, you know, even if you throw a loss in the schedule, even if that's wrong, as long as it's just one loss, depending on who it's to, you still have a good chance. I mean, look at Ohio State, and I think even though they didn't beat Georgia, I think that they showed that they gave you that benefit of the doubt. And it's the last year of the 4-team playoff before they moved to the 12-team. So you hope that Michigan gets to partake in that, because that gives you a little bit of an added good scenario. I don't know how else to put it, but it is early. Anyway, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will be back. We are going to talk about Jim Harbaugh and that whole everything. We'll see if anything changes today while I am Disneying. But thank you again. We will talk to you again soon. Peace.